I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues Live Podcast UK. So let's give it up for Robin, myself, hey, Matt. And I think we've saved the best guest till last for our draft week. We're joined by Mr. Dean Kindig. Dean,
yes.
Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was so much fun last year. I said, let's do this.
Yes, and we're going to really talk in depth about how the Bills can attack this draft. Because, I mean, obviously, this offseason, and obviously I want to get your opinion on it as well, Dean, has been interesting to say the least, because obviously we've cut veterans, so we're going for a youth movement. We're cutting costs here and there, and it's just almost signaling a new era. So I want to just get your views on that before we talk the draft.
Yeah, I think the number one priority is to get a wide receiver that can operate behind or with Kincaid, and call him the primary receiver, if you like. He's got to have elite separation. He's got to have very good downfield speed, and size would be a plus, I would think. Downfield blocking would be a factor. Yak would be a factor if we believe Bean, and he's pretty frank. He probably has to be a smart guy, quick on the uptake. When they brought in Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins, they actually knew the playbook better than some of the guys that were veterans that were coming in. So that they were helping the veterans with the playbook almost from the get-go. So to me, that describes this. It describes Ladd McConkey better than it describes Leggett. Brian Thomas would have no problem with a playbook and getting up to speed fairly quickly. He's got a higher ceiling than some of the guys that they've brought in. And if we look at the Billsy types of the Bills types of receivers that did really well in interviews that I listened to, it was Ladd McConkey, Devon Villay, and Tez Walker. Tez Walker would be more like a round two pick, I think.
Yeah.
But you can guess all you want, but I guess we'll know on Thursday.
Yeah,
so, I mean, sorry, can I ask a question? I've just thought of a question. I can ask Dane. Sean McDermott always makes so much of culture and process and getting the right person in and the right attitude, and he's not completely against having someone who wrestled in high school or college as well. If we just almost put to one side height and strength and those sort of measurable tangibles, who kind of leaps off at you, Dean, as a Sean McDermott guy, as a Buffalo Bills blue collar work all day, work your tail off guy.
Roman Wilson.
Right.
I'm gonna bring up your your little board.
Oh yeah. I hope so we can. Big enough. Yeah. I hope you can see it
I can see it.
Yeah. If you're on a cell phone, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I've got the board up on my laptop, so we're all good on that.
Right. Well, the way I did Scout Score this year, in this column right here is Scout Score. It has 15 interchanges with Brian Thomas Jr., and it has 13 interchanges with Ladd McConkey and Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson's from Michigan, and I think that they're there for the offensive linemen. So maybe they're not as interested in Roman Wilson, but he is so Billsy when you listen to his interview that, you know, you could see the Bills picking three of these guys, and I wouldn't even be surprised if it was somebody like, you know, Ryan Flournoy in round five or something. Anthony Gould is the wrestler. So anyway, blocking ability. Here, I'll make them into a. I'll reorder them for blocking ability. There you go. Flournoy, McConkey, and Thomas are the best blockers in my opinion, and two of those got pretty high numbers of interchanges. The scout score, I should explain, is if one scout saw one game, it's 1 point. If Bean saw a game, it's 3 points extra. If Joe Brady saw a game, it's 2 points extra. If a position coach saw a game or worked you out, it was two more points extra. And then any history from the inner circle, like Dave Aranda or Manny Diaz, you get 3 points for that. If they met the guy at the Senior Bowl, it's 2 points. Zoom interview, 1 point. Private workout, 2 points. You know, and a combine meeting was 2 points. Pro day, 2 points. Anyway, so these are the number of points that each of the wide receivers got. And it, as you can see, those players here, I'll put them in order for people there. Thomas, McConkey, Wilson, and Walker. I think those are the guys that they're looking at. I'd throw Leggett in there because I think that's right around where the Bills would be looking. I've even seen him say today on Twitter that the Panthers have been at 33 have been very interested in him. So that's that makes a lot of sense that somebody that runs a 4.39 at 221 pounds has a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that the number of visits went toward the guys that ran the 4.3s. And the exception is Jacob Cowing, because he's at 168 pounds at 5'8", standing on his tiptoes. So there is probably a lower weight limit that they would not like to go for because of the risk of injury. And it could be that's where those guys fall.
Would that then rule out the likes of Franklin and Worthy? They're both undersized weight wise, and all that. Do you think that would be a little factor why they wouldn't? Why potentially they're not as high on their board as they are on another team's board? And as we know, Bean doesn't always have a full 32 round players, first round players on there. So does the weight factor, especially for, let's say, the likes of Franklin and Worthy, really play in regardless of running a 4.42 speed?
Yeah, I would say so, because, well, a couple of things. It does affect blocking. Downfield blocking, and that was huge because we just lost one of our best downfield blockers in Gabe Davis. So you want to be able to replace that with blocking ability. The other piece is the Bills scouts only went to one game in Texas. So that's a factor with Mitchell and Worthy that they, all of the interest took place after the season. Okay. So combine visit, pro day, and all of this. And I know that they can watch films on each of these players on television, but there's nothing like being at the game.
Yeah. But,
the reason that I think that Mitchell would be in play is, although I think he's going to be taking the pick before the Bills, is that he has the lowest drop rate
yeah,
the class, and his in-game athleticism score is so high. So I think he's a pretty good blocker as well. If I show you these guys as blockers, now they're in blocking order, and you can see Johnny Wilson, Flournoy, Harrison, Neighbors, Jalen McMillan, Mitchell and McConkey, and Brian Thomas.
Mm.
Your top eight. So if you get a chance, listen to an interview of Ladd McConkey and see if he doesn't just live and breathe Bills to you. The other two I really loved in interviews were Odunze and Tez Walker. The three of them had the best interviews. There were lots of them. I wouldn't cross anybody out based on interview. There were just some that were just far more impressive than others.
Mm. I mean, obviously, we've got listeners and actually and viewers on here. Obviously, drop your questions in the cool. chat box, so we'll give them to Dean. But obviously, talking about Odunze and obviously Brian Thomas, I mean, Brandon Bean came out in his pre-draft press conference and said, "There's not a big need for a bona fide number one working based on skill set and all that." Does that really not affect as such, or affect how high potentially the Bills would draft up, and if they're going all out, they'd go out for Odunze, or they'd go to say 15 to 18 range to potentially get a Brian Thomas, which he could drop depending on the needs of other teams, obviously quarterbacks, interior lines, and defensive players.
Right. I can say something about that. I've been tweeting today about the chances of Brian Thomas Jr. falling. I think that the we're gonna have to watch for the Colts, where the Colts end up. It's possible that nobody ends up in the current spot that they're trading in, right?
Yeah.
It's easier for me to show it to you than there. Okay. that the Colts draft at 15, their top need is corner. It's possible that they could have the first best corner on their board, whether it's Terrion Arnold or the one that was late to the party.
Quinion Mitchell.
Yeah, thank you. Quinion Mitchell. That either one of those might be the first one to go off on the board.
Okay? Mm.
The Raiders might decide that at 13, because the run on offensive tackles is going to occur sometime, and it could happen as early as 7.
And
it's going to even get worse right around 19. Those are the spots that are going to drop players down to the Bills. So how high do they have, you know, how high do the Bengals have their wide receivers compared to their offensive tackles?
Because
the Bengals were one of those people that you often see, the Jaguars at 17 as well. There's a question though. If you wanted to get ahead of the Jaguars and Bengals and just be sure that you had your wide receiver of choice, you'd probably have to get to 16 Seahawks or 14 Saints or whoever's in those places, because that's when it's going to start, you know, the second run on wide receivers. The good news is that a lot of those teams, one of them's going to want a tight end named Brock Bowers, and many of them are going to want edge, and many of them are going to want offensive tackle. So we'll just have to keep an eye out for that. And you notice that Bean actually brought some offensive tackles in for 30 visits, and I don't think he was necessarily looking to draft one. He wanted to see what the value of that player would be, and whether he could guess whether, let's say, the Cowboys at 24 would be interested, or the Dolphins. the Dolphins at 21 would be interested. The other piece of this is that there are the ones that are in pink, the ones that you're seeing highlighted in pink, don't have very many picks, and they would probably love a bevy of picks from somebody like the Bills, or like the Cardinals for that matter, to move up.
And that would be,
you know, that would be the places to do it. You know, the Jets probably aren't going to trade with us, but the Vikings, if they stay put, I don't think they are. Could be another one, the Saints and the Seahawks at 14 and 16. Those might be places you could trade. And you have a 2025 number two. If you wanted to incorporate it in there, but I think you would also just add a couple of picks from either the fourth and or fifth round and offer them four picks. And keep your one from next year, you know, next year, and move up and get your guy. If you ask me, if you pinned me to the wall and said, what are they going to do? I would say, I think that they would only go up a little bit. And I'm talking Cowboys at 24, somewhere in that area, to assure that they would get either Thomas and or McConkey at a pick just above where they are now. I don't think they're going to make the big leap up into the 4, 5, 6.
How about the trade down scenario? Because I mean, obviously there was talk on X that the Commanders actually looking to drop, come back into the first round to get offensive tackle. Obviously, with the lack of third round pick and all that, it's dependent on how the board actually falls and what Bean has valued. Could you see that scenario where they may even go down, pick up potentially an extra third or second on that, and then try and get those, I wouldn't say mid-tier wide receivers, but those wide receivers that are borderline first, like your Leggetts, like your Purcells, like your Bakers, Mitchell, Franklin, those type of players, ones that are borderline. Would you see that trade down as a scenario?
I would, especially if it involved getting a third, because there's so many players in the third that the Bills seem to be interested in, and why would you have that much interest in third rounders unless you somehow obtain one? The Commanders are at 36. Okay, they have the draft ammo to move up. They have 9 picks, 5 of which are in the first 3 rounds, and I assume that they've already gotten their quarterback by then.
Yeah.
So then they're looking either at edge or tackle, and right around 45, the offensive tackle market is going to dry up. Everybody talks about the fall off at edge, but I'm seeing it at offensive tackle right around that time. Depending on whether guys like Guyton and Amagaji excite you. The party could be over for people looking for tackles, and there are 19 teams that have it listed as a 1 or a 2 need.
Mm.
So good luck with that. If 19, just think of like, what if back up here, 19 teams decided to go offensive tackle, and there was a run of epic proportions on offensive tackles. Who's going to drop, you know?
Yeah.
I think corners, edges, and wide receivers could drop a little bit more than people think.
Yeah. I mean, well, obviously, we'll talk a bit more about the wide receivers, especially when we get into the mock draft later, because obviously it's more likely the Bills are going to double dip, maybe, and I feel they could actually triple dip in the market, depending, obviously, on the picks they go. But we look at how they're going to attack this draft. Obviously, wide receiver any other needs really that could be considered if they decided to go with their board and actually go best player available? And obviously the conferences and all that we've known, and your list obviously always shows us where they've gone. There's a trend, and would they consider a safety slash corner, or a corner turn to safety, defensive line, or anything around that? Would there be a safe and an intriguing pick?
Right. Yeah. So let me show you this. I call this the Billsy DBs. I'm going to put them in the order in which they could come off the board. Who knows when Cameron Kitchens is going to come off the board, because that's the one that Jamil Adai, the Bills secondary coach, actually coached. So that's a piece of it. I've seen everything on Kitchens from round three all the way to the Bills 4B pick. He did terribly on the RAS scoring. But if you listen to his interview and you listen to Tyke Smith's interview, the guy from Georgia, and you listen to Quantez Stiggers, the one from the Toronto Argonauts, and even a guy late in the draft that I like is Tarheeb Still from Maryland. They all had great interviews that could say, we can go CB or S anywhere along in here. They seem to be pretty comfortable with rap, and they're pretty comfortable with, is it Mike Edwards? If they like players like that, maybe they already got that and don't need to spend the round two on a Javon Bullard. They could just go with Kitchens if he drops to four.
Yeah.
So that's a thought. I really like Andrew Phillips for the cornerback, because he could play that corner or nickel role. And he looked really strong against McConkey. And if we don't take McConkey, then the Chiefs might. So you might be looking for the person that can actually handle somebody with the route running ability that McConkey has.
I mean, you've got that listed, probably one of my favorite cornerbacks now that I've actually looked a bit more into him. Mount Rutgers, Max Melton.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he's pretty much an athletic, he's an explosive player. And I feel that he could fit both into both zones. In your opinion, is he pushing the first, or is he mainly, you're seeing he's going to be a second round pick?
I think he could even drift into the third round. And I mean early third. You're not going to But of all of these, he has. One of the things the Bills look at is solo tackles per game. That's how Dane Jackson got to the Bills. It's how DeMar Hamlin got to the Bills. Solo tackles and the willingness to stick your nose in the flywheel is something that he's really looking for. And Matt Melton didn't have as many, but it's possible that he didn't. That because the reason he didn't have any solo tackles per game is because he was the dominant side in that Rutgers defense. He got an interception versus Northwestern, and that game was the scouted game that Bills went to. I don't think they were going to see anybody from Northwestern, so you know that he was scouted there. And we had news that it was a high-ranking Bills front office member that was at the Rutgers Pro Day as well. So there you have it.
I'm hoping. I've got my fingers crossed now. That's got me a bit excited. But we also know that that he loves, or McDermott loves his Pitt defensive backs.
Yes.
And obviously, MJ Devonshire is probably the one that most draft guys have actually got to obviously pin to the Bills. I mean, obviously there's trends.
Yeah.
Could you see a Pitt player, or can you see one of his trends? So I think he said like he used to go all SEC on certain positions or ACC and all that. Could you see anything like that come into play anywhere during this draft?
Oh, that's a great question. The ACC, there have been 9 defensive players drafted from the ACC by the Bills, only 2 offense. That's ACC. For the SEC, it's been 10 offense, 10 defense. So maybe we can't make any things there.
Toss a coin.
Yes, toss a coin. And 3 defensive and 5 offensive players from the Big Ten. There is some affinity that he has for defensive players in the ACC, and it could be because they're facing better competition, or they just have more players or more front office guys that are from that area. So I'm telling you right now, if it's an SEC guy, Andrew Phillips is it. And I think if it's not, then it's Tyke Smith from Georgia. I think both of those would be pretty good picks, or both, because one's a corner, one's a safety.
I mean, looking at it, I mean, obviously we're looking interchangeable. I mean, that seems to be McDermott's one of his traits he likes to see in some of his players, the versatility. Like, he obviously rotates his defensive lines and all that. And obviously defensive back is the same. And we had Marlon Kerner on a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome.
Talking about it. And obviously he's actually mentioned obviously the difference between the cornerback and safety roles and all that, and how it's easier to go from corner to safety, then safety to corner. Any of these guys really that could actually do that? I mean, I'm looking at, obviously, on your board, I'm looking at, obviously, Cooper DeJean as a guy that they mentioned could go both ways.
Yes.
Obviously, you've got James Williams out of Miami, 6'4", 200 and however pound he is.
Right.
They want to play as a... who could plug in as a linebacker. That's a big nickel there. Are there any other guys like that?
Yeah.
Really that could come in and be that versatile, get that spot on that 53 man roster?
Well, the guys that I have under best position here in gold, seem to be have the most position flex. I'm thinking of a Jaden Hicks. He could get to the Bills pick, the number 60 pick. I've got him on my board at 58. And he had 3.54 solo tackles per game. So he's got everything that you're looking for, that the Bills might be looking for somebody that had position flex, not only safe, strong safety, free safety, because that's a requirement, I think, in McDermott's offenses. You can't tell. You don't want to reveal which one is your free and which one is your strong
before
snap. But also, he has one of the highest NFL grades going. And that's new information. I just put that on for your podcast. So the NFL grades, if I put that by NFL grade, right? And then we look at the guys up top here. Tyler Newbin from Minnesota had 6 visits. I see him only as a strong safety because I don't think he's fast enough to play the free role. So I think that you aren't disguising as well with Newbin as you are with Adrian Taylor Demerson or Bullard, because I think he could be nickel slot. He could be strong safety type of thing. He could be free safety, actually.
Yeah.
But Jaden has played a little offensive linebacker, where he actually comes up and he's the guy that's covering the tight end. Do we have any tight ends in our division? Anyway.
Yeah.
And then Cole Bishop, free safety, strong safety, flex, really nice. And he's got the 404 solo tackles per game and one of the top five NFL grades. So
yeah,
really quite high on him. And Ketan Oladapo, again, good. He could be strong safety. He could be nickel. He can be, he played a lot of special teams. And they privately worked him out.
Yeah.
So there are other players besides the ones from Miami that Jamil Adai would be familiar with.
Yeah. I mean, how often, and Robin, you can jump in with questions here, you don't have to just stand there.
I tried, and you spoke over me, Matthew. I felt myself being silenced. The only thing I was going to say was, obviously, Matt's the research guy. He knows the players. I'm sort of on a sort of tactical kind of thing. When I think about safeties, when I think about defensive backs, it's sort of well known with Sean McDermott's past and his coaching history. Do they really need to go early if they think they need a safety? Are they perhaps going to be thinking we can get a guy and kind of coach them up? We can find that kind of unpolished gem, as I like to say. Somebody who's got the skills, but maybe he's not there yet, but put them in a good coaching. I mean, as I said about three podcasts ago, Poyer and Hyde weren't really Poyer and Hyde until they came to Buffalo, but they came there and they got better, didn't they?
Exactly. And I think that Rapp and Edwards are really the plan there. Mm. You hope that DeMar Hamlin will continue his upward,
trajectory.
Is that he had, he was number two in special teams tackles. So, you've still got Hamlin for special teams tackles, if nothing else. You said goodbye to Saran Neal. So you have to replace some special teams thing. But I think they start the season with Rapp Edwards as the incumbents. The others can try to beat them, and I think they'll bring somebody in fairly early. But I don't think fourth round is out of the realm of possibility for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to say the least. I mean, obviously, the only other thing, obviously, you look at the special teams on there, and especially as Robin mentioned, with a lower ranked, a lower graded safety to be molded under McDermott that plays special teams. Obviously, the name, and you've actually hovered over it before I even got to it. And the person I was going to mention, Malik Mustafa of Wake Forest.
Yep.
Obviously, they're the type of guys, really, that if you're looking for that developmental piece to learn, if McDermott's happy and good having Rapp and Edwards as your 1-2 with Hamlin backing him up, those type of guys, I guess, are the ones that are going to be the real value pieces, because we've got to obviously replace Saran Neal and a few other of these special teamers that have actually left in free agency.
Right. I think Oladapo, Mustafa, and Carlisle. Carlisle is the one from Missouri. He's one of the big three in terms of size. He's done a lot of different things. He even played wide receiver, for Pete's sake. So, there's a lot of athleticism that you can put to use as long as they are good tacklers. And I think good tackler is the key. So look at Hicks, you look at Evan Williams, he's a little slow. Cole Bishop, Carlisle, even Tyler Newbin made a lot of tackles. and had a lot of starts at Minnesota, and they didn't have the season they wanted, but the good news is that not everybody looks at RAS for every position. I think what he looks for is somebody that's willing to stick their nose in the fan and is a fearless tackler, good click and close, that type of thing.
And one other name before we move on to defensive line, because I know that's probably one another biggest need on there. Just want your opinion on another intriguing guy. And you obviously talk about Carlisle's that play a bit of wide receiver. There's a guy out of Utah, Simone Barkey.
Yes.
He'll play both spots and that. Is he a Billsy fit?
So,
or could he be a Billsy fit?
Yeah, right. Well, he did get three visits. And they went to his pro day. And let me tell you, I fly to Boise a lot because that's where my son is. He went to school there. So Khalil Shakir was my perfect confluence of you know, Billsy fit and Boise fit. But the Bills went to Vaki's pro day, and let me show you who's at there. Here's who was the folks that were at Utah. You had Cole Bishop, Jonah Ellis, Satawa Laumea, and Kareen Reed. I'm pretty sure Reed didn't even declare for this year, but I say, why not take Vaki and Cole Bishop? You know, there's a thought. Again, Vaki has that strong safety, free safety, chameleon. You know, you won't be able to tell what I am until the snap. He actually ran running back. Because they were down a running back, and he did quite well.
Yeah.
So athletic guys can play no matter what. And the only fault I could find of Vaki, the reason he's not in turquoise, is that just doesn't have the number of starts that the Bills usually look for. Mm. But you know, when Bean said he doesn't check all of the boxes. He's talking about players that drop a round or drop two rounds. Vaki would fit right into that, but that falls right into the spot that should be looking for their safety.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's good. You still need to probably get a bigger one tech, and you probably need to get another edge to rotate in that.
Yeah.
That group, even if Vaughn is healthy. So you'd still have enough for to do the platooning that they like to do.
Is it true what they're saying? Obviously the drop off at one tech. Obviously we've got Daquan Jones, we've got Austin Johnson. Obviously both getting on in age and all that. Obviously the one tech you really got are Sweat, Jordan Jefferson of LSU. And a few other guys that can play both spots. Is there really that drop off that people are saying happened? And obviously with the Sweat DUI, that's going to probably drop him way down, or at least another couple of rounds down that board.
Yeah, if it I know that it will drop him into round three, and it could be worse. You know, it could be worse than that. Going in, we already knew that he didn't have the number of sacks that some of the other guys did, and we knew that he didn't have the career FBS starts. We knew that he didn't have the number of pressures, that he was a gap clogger type. He generated pressures by gap clogging rather than actually getting to the quarterback or in sacks or tackles for loss. So he's actually last in tackles for loss on this whole chart. So Jordan Jefferson might be it. So yeah. If you want Jordan Jefferson, you might look to round four rather than round five.
Mm.
If that is a real need, if there are not that many that are still looking for their Vita Vea.
Yeah. he's always going to be that. Always going to be that comparison.
Yeah, right. So the best that I can do, the best that I've found actually is deeper in. This is showing everybody. Is that? I'll show you how I think they're going to go off here. There, these ones that are in yellow. You got Tavondre Sweat. You've got McKinley Jackson. Awful interview.
Mm.
The incorrect size, suspended by the team. It probably not a Billsy guy. But then down here, Evan Anderson.
Yes.
Anderson and maybe even Fabian Lovett down there, Florida State. We've looked at Florida State for defensive tackles before. I love the lateral quickness that Evan Anderson has. He's at Florida Atlantic. So he's not terribly fast, but he gums up that works, but he was also pretty effective. He has 38 career starts, so he's got that requirement set. He had six sacks on his career. He was an OT in high school, so you know he has that dancing bear kind of mentality. In fact, I'll mark him right here. I'll say, yeah, he'd be a good 248 right there.
Yeah.
So these, that would be a good way to end your round if you didn't want to take Justin Rogers, another one of the bad interviews. So
yeah.
That would be, I do that all the time when I do mocks, is I'm looking for which one Bean would take rather than which one I would take.
You know what
he likes in each of these archetypes, you know, like what does he look for in an offensive tackle? There is a Cromer archetype. So.
Yeah. But I mean, the other name, I mean, obviously he's coming up the boards. I mean, there's debate on where he's actually going to go on there. And I'm going back to the first round on here. Is Illinois' Johnny Newton?
Yes. Yes.
His fit, and I'm looking at the board on there, his fit is more of a three tech, and obviously we need another one. But is for three tech is going to be too high again the first two rounds, knowing that you've got a dominant Ed, or is it still worth trying to get it in the first two rounds if you go in that way to actually to relieve Ed when needs be on certain downs?
Yeah. I wish I had three first rounders. because Johnny Newton would be one of them. I think that the fact that Johnny Newton is very, very similarly sized and speed and to Ed, that you could see them thinking, yeah, let's do that. Both of the, you know, there's a reason they went to Illinois. They didn't go to Illinois last year or the year before. They went to Illinois this year. You know, he had a good interview. I said on Twitter, I said, would you rather have a second Ed or a first Stephon at 28? So that'll be the question.
It's a question.
You know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with taking AD Mitchell if he drops. As a matter of fact, I have him two spots ahead of McConkie on here. And it's only a size question. We're looking for somebody that's a true X rather than an X who plays slot and punt returns. And that's
That's cool. I mean, Robin, you're still quiet again. Just jump in at any time, man.
Trying to break in somewhere. I did want to ask about linebacker. We haven't covered linebacker yet because obviously it's been we're hopefully going to get Milano and Terrell Bernard to obviously play a significant amount of time this year. But right. Matt Milano, I think, is 30 this year. Is there anyone in the draft we might be able to think of as perhaps a lot longer term projects? Just someone who can perhaps get in.
Yeah,
the fourth round or later.
Yeah, and you know that Bean always takes a day three linebacker, and he ends up being setting the world on fire. So yeah. So
Dorian Williams,
it's what he does, right? I have two for you. One is J.D. Bertrand of Notre Dame. Best interview. I think so. In the scouted game versus Louisville, and I'd encourage you to go watch Notre Dame versus Louisville. He led the whole defense, 9 tackles, 5 solos, 1 sack, 1.5 tackles for loss. Aggressive as heck, and he's one of the top 3 in solos per game. He did it with a pretty similar build as Milano. Milano's 6'0", 223, 467. Okay? Bertrand is 6'1", 233, 467. So very similar body type, same speed, and just an awesome interview. So if you get a chance, look for an interview of J.D. Bertrand and watch the Louisville game against Notre Dame. I think you'll be impressed. The other one that I think what I look for are these guys, the ones that are interchangeable inside and outside, because I think we have those four. Curtis Jacobs, Penn State. That's a good possibility. Last pick, Steel Chambers, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And too early, Jeremiah Trotter. He'd be a third rounder, and I we'll use it for something else. Most likely, possibly Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. I remember when they drafted our linebacker that's no longer with the team, blah, blah. Trevin Wallace has that size, as does Trotter. 6'2", 241, 458 in the 40. They piled an awful lot of visit points up at Penn State. And here's who's at Penn State. You've got Manny Diaz just moved from Miami to be the DC at Penn State. When Manny Diaz was at Miami, they drafted Rousseau. So Curtis Jacobs, if he's around in round 5, he's a really good guess for who that linebacker this year is. It's always the linebacker of the year. We'll take one. We just don't know which one it is. One more guy I would say don't forget the total tackles leader in the SEC. That was Nathaniel Watson. He would be one of those round 6 guys.
Yeah.
So that pure OLB, Jet Johnson, I think they've, he led the SEC in tackles last year. So you've got two guys at Mississippi State that might enter the conversation. Thanks for talking about linebackers. Nobody talks about linebackers.
They sort of slip through the net, don't they? There's the secondary, and then there's like the trenches and the trench guys. But I always think
right.
I like the move that Bean does. Get a day 3 linebacker. You never know who you might come up with.
He's stacked, but it makes sense late.
One name, obviously, on there is, and we know that they like in the late rounds and undrafted rounds to actually select from this school is going local. And I know he's probably more just of a inside more than anything is Anderson of Buffalo.
Yes. So
we had him on visits.
Yes, right there. And they did go to the pro day, and Justin Mosqueda, I think it is, says that they have shown consistent interest.
Mm.
And I say Andreessen. Maybe that's not the way to pronounce it. But he did really well. He did well at the pro day, and his hometown is Depew, and he went to Lancaster High School. So that's fun to and if you do solo tackles per game, he's top eight.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, there's only one I hope it's not in the top eight, and that's Tommy Eichenberg. I didn't like his interview. I don't see him fitting into the group that's in there. Peyton Wilson is the wrestler, keep in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking everywhere. I mean, let's say we'll hit in a minute through the Buffalo fan base, the mock draft and all that. Obviously, the one other quick position we'll quickly talk over. We talked defensive line, but obviously it's edge as well. Obviously, Russo, Epinesa, and Kingsley Jonathan and Von Miller are your set edges at the moment. Obviously, where is that Von Miller clone near, I wouldn't say near on, spot on clone, but the guy that exhibits the traits that Von Miller has?
Yeah. So here's Von Miller, 6'3", 246, running a 4.42. All right. You probably aren't going to find too many that are 6'3", 246 that run a 4.42. If you look down that speed column, the ones that the Bills have been scouting, only Dallas Turner is as fast as Von Miller is, except maybe currently. You might think that a Chop Robinson might be that same body type and so forth. I'm working out now to figure out which are the guys that might be the people that could still set the edge.
Yeah.
In a run game, because I think run and stop the run is part of the new Bills, like it or not. And Marshawn Kneeland, I've been pretty impressed with him, and Javon Solomon from Troy. It's hard to get film on him, but the Bills brought Kneeland in.
Yeah.
They went to the pro day, Braylon Trice. Just heard a little bit more about Braylon Trice today, that he would be an ideal second pick. And he led the nation with 70 pressures in 2022. Then he put 70 pressures again in 2023, and most pressures in a single game by a P5 defender since PFF began charting college football.
Yeah.
So that, you know, we see the heavy hands there. You see the pass rush win rate. I think he padded his stats a little bit against the Portland States and the Kent States, but he is an ascending player, where some of these probably were more flash in the pan.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I like Jonah Ellis of Utah. I watched a lot of Utah this year because of Boise State, actually. He had a private pro day and just killed it. 38-inch vertical jump, 20-yard shuttle that stood out. And he should get some love at some point. probably in round three. So again, wish I had a third rounder.
and one other before we go on, unless Robin has a name that he wants to actually pop in from any position, is out of Houston Christian, Jalex Hunt.
Yes.
Of the safety turned edge, obviously still learning a bit more the nuances of edge.
Yeah, that's
round four, round three.
Say again.
And how would he fit?
Yeah, so he's had 9 FBS starts. So only the one year, had a great RAS score, 9.13. That's good. I think this will work. Let me show you for the people that don't know him. This is Jalex Hunt coming in from the left. Bam. Anyway, he's so Von Miller-y.
Yeah.
He has some traits that certainly could be developed because Miller will be there.
So, good teacher.
Yeah, I think he'll be a great teacher and he plays with his pants on fire. He's just like amazing. So that he'd be a good developmental.
Mm.
And you could take him. I have him at 185, but there's so much on him that you're just, it's a risk reward type of
thing. Yeah.
That you could take with a round six or a round five C.
Mm.
You know, that would be a really good pick because of the upside and Bean might be able to afford, if he keeps a lot of these picks, he could afford to take some players with upside rather than taking players that have to produce right away.
Yeah. So he's Robin, you got.
Yeah, he's probably your second guy, not your first guy. You might be taking Nealand, let's say, or somebody earlier. I like Cedric Johnson of Ole Miss as well. He didn't do as well on the 40 time, but he has a 9.65 RAS, and he's in the top five for career solo tackles. That means he mines the store. He goes after you know, sacks and tackles for loss, but he minds the store as far as not allowing runs.
Yeah, if not, we'll just end up re-signing Shaq Lawson.
Yeah, Shaq's not busy.
exactly.
So Robin, before we move on to the mock, you got any player do you want to discuss or quick?
Don't really have a player in mind. You're more players. I'm more big picture, Matt, as you know. But what I was thinking was offensive line. I think we were shade fortunate in the season just gone that we had Osiris Torrance, didn't miss a snap. Spencer Brown took a big step forward. Took really good offensive line, I thought, this year. But you look behind those five guys, we've got Alec Anderson, who made the 53, but there's two guys I really don't know anything about. So depth pieces for the offensive line, I'm thinking maybe center. I know they're talking about moving McGovern over to center. Maybe that's a plan, but it seems like maybe you leave him where he is, and if there's a center you like, you make it a training camp competition.
I think this is one of the positions that archetypal size matters. And if you look at the players that we have, Torrance 6'5", 330. Well, that's JC Latham this year, 6'6", 335. There's no way that he gets to us. His pass blocking is exquisite. It would probably be really, really nice if we had somebody that could play either left guard or left tackle eventually. I like a couple of the guys, Graham Barton at 31, Jordan Morgan at 30. The Bills actually brought Morgan in for 30 visit. And it could be to find out
what where's best positioned
around him, just to see what, you know, would another team take him type of thing. Because he was great that in that way. And then Graham Barton had the best interview. He's at Duke, and we know that's where Manny Diaz went. He went to Duke, and he's the head coach there now. So,
I mean,
Duke ran all over Clemson this year, and that was enough for me to realize that you know, Graham Barton, Jacob Monk, who's the guard, that might be something to look at. If we were to take something other than a wide receiver in the first round, and let's say that Morgan dropped to us, I could see them taking him, because they're only two tackles that were Billsy enough for me to even think about in the first round, Latham and Morgan. Both of them are consistent pass blockers and run blockers. The rest have a vulnerability, like Delmar Glaze has a vulnerability in run blocking. So they, again, you don't want to show your hand before the snap.
So, I mean, great. two names that stand out. Well, one that I've seen on X is actually that's starting to get a bit more looking, obviously, Brandon Coleman of TCU. But obviously, the one thing on there, we kind of want to see if they are moving McGovern over to center, maybe find that guard with center ability, like Eric Wood. Oh, Eric Wood, probably the best example of that, yes, coming in as a left guard, then moving in to become a dominant center. One name obviously I've got my list on is Hudson, Brian Hudson out of Louisville.
Yeah,
can play all the interior positions, and I saw on there that he's got a good, decent pass and run block stats.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that I'm looking at the gold ones here, like Tanner Bordellini, Nick Gargiulo from South Carolina. I really, really like a kid. I don't think he's going to be drafted. And if he does, more power to him. He his hometown is right down the way here from training camp. It's Mike Nowitzki of Kansas. He played center. He played left guard. He's not a vulnerability at either pass or run block. He's played 58 career games. So I like him. Will Putnam, the wrestler.
Hey, we love a wrestler.
Yep. I was going to say, I see both of those guys coming in after the draft and being a preferred free agent. And then Isaiah Adams, he took reps at the Senior Bowl at center, but he led the whole Illini in knockdowns. So I just liked his way about him. If I thought the Bills would take somebody at center or at left guard that had an eventual, maybe ascending talent, it might be Trevor Keegan of Michigan. Great interview. And one of the top seven guard RAS scores. Brandon Coleman was the one that had the highest RAS score, but I didn't like him as much at either run blocking or pass blocking.
Yeah.
And we've got a guy named Keaton Bills. Where's he going to go?
So, definitely a Billsy name.
Yeah, Bills to the Bills.
Billsy name if your name is Bills.
Could be Josh just for that.
The ones that can occupy all three middle spots is really, really nice. Jackson Power Johnson didn't get any games scouted except for two. He had the Oregon Texas Tech and the Oregon Washington game. when they were probably looking at Odunze and the guy on the other side. Anyway, and Zach Zinter, who had the broken tibia and fibula, if he dropped, let's say he dropped to round four, would you take Zach Zinter? He's probably he's your backup at right guard.
Yeah.
That would be a really nice guy. So I'll show you this information one more way, and that is how they are at pass blocking. And here's the thing. Cooper Beebe, no visits.
Yeah.
State. Mason McCormick, no visits at South Dakota State. And there was one other one that jumped out at me. I don't even see him here. But anyway, these are the guys that can pass block and would not be a liability in run blocking.
Yeah.
So that you should look at, and also look at the conference. You know that the guys that they're looking at for offense, you know, we have six defense, one offense from the Big 12. And it was lower this year than it has ever been in terms of the number of scout visits.
Yeah. So with that in mind, obviously, what are the scouts? Let's put ourselves into the mock draft using your boards, which is spreadsheet, Buffalo fan base, and all that. We go on the clock. We can should we do trades, or should we just go straight up as the board flies with the picks that we've got? It's up to you. We'll see what happens. Let's have a look.
I think it's amusing just to do this and see who ends up there, because I'm always like, okay, there's no good trade. So you were right. You've got Byron Murphy, Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid, and Ladd McConkey, and Jordan Morgan. That's the offensive tackle I was talking about.
Yeah.
You've got all of them. Then you've got McConkey is here. Worthy, Leggett, Mitchell right down here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drafting at 28. Now you know that the Panthers would like to make sure that they got who they wanted, and you've also got two people behind us, the Ravens and the Chiefs, who might take wide receiver. So one of these, McConkey, Worthy, Leggett, is going to the Ravens, and one of them's going to the Chiefs. So that's my other reason for taking wide receiver, is that you're diminishing your opponents by taking, you know, player this early.
Way from there.
I'm okay with taking other people. The most Billsy player with the route running capability, some upside, and yak is McConkey.
Yeah. I think he would be the pick. I mean, obviously, you look at – I'm looking on there. I've seen Johnny Newton's still on there, and obviously Brian Murphy. As I say, it depends on how the board falls on there. But you're right. I think out of the three wide receivers, I mean – I'm not as high as people think of on Worthy, just due to his weight. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's fast. He actually can make plays and all that. But when you've got corners that can be, some of them can be 200 pounds, and actually they're on there as soon as they go off the line of scrimmage, they've already stunted, blocked you. You haven't got that much of core strength to actually get past. So that's always a worry for me with that. I mean, I don't know what other wide receivers were actually on available, obviously, other than Mitchell and Worthy. Because, I mean,
Brian Thomas did go to the Colts at 15 over here. And then the run on cornerbacks started right there at 16 and 17 with Seahawks and Jaguars taking corners. Which is interesting to me that the Bengals took Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
18. He keeps going earlier and earlier. Anyway, that would be my recommendation for now. And you could talk me into Leggett, because I know they like him.
McConkie. Do you like him that much that you would take him at 28, or would you try that trade? Even though we're not going to trade, we'll probably stick where we are. Could you see Leggett being a first rounder, or like the borderline high second, just before we make the selection? Which I'm let Robin make the choice.
My comment is that Leggett has the straight line, and all of the routes that are straight line routes, and Ladd McConkie can do more with the routes that have turns in them, and will get more run after catch ability than any of these guys that are here.
Yeah. So Robin, yeah. you make the decision.
I'm pulling the trigger. Dean convinced me. McConkie, Georgia, with the 28th pick in the draft.
All right. And believe me, I have tried proposing the trade to the Panthers. They draft at 1 in the second round, and that works out really well. If you ever want to try it, go to FanSpeak and use the Buffalo fan base board, and you can do that.
All right.
There we go.
I think I saw Bo Nix going. So actually, Penix is probably still on the board for somebody. Penix went. I wanted to see that. No,
he's hiding somewhere on that board.
Anyway, there he is. So Penix is right here. I could propose a trade to somebody who did not have a quarterback. Now today, Fields went from the Jets to the Broncos, I think.
Zach Wilson.
Yep, Wilson. So they might be off the board, but this would be kind of interesting. What if we did this? Nope, we can only get round 3, pick 1. Never mind. Close window. So Amarius Mims is only a right tackle. We have Ladd McConkie. We have Jackson Powers Johnson still on the board. Did not get the visits that others did, but that's kind of interesting.
Did we not just pick McConkie? Is that gone?
Yeah, different McConkie. He's second cousin.
This is crazy.
What's going on here?
Oh, maybe we didn't draft the player.
Let's try again. McConkie it is again. It says you're round 2, you're on the clock.
Oh no, and now it says round 3. There's something wanky. you know what it was? You know what it was?
Yeah.
I just submitted a new big board.
Sister's updating.
I will bet. Yep.
Oh, notice the date.
Last updated 4/22. So if you update in the middle of a
middle of a draft.
Yeah, if you update in the middle of the draft, then it doesn't work. We'll get you back there.
He double counts them. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens this time. Maybe somebody has a.
Yeah, I'm
someone drops.
Yeah, someone gets
the
case.
We'll just get back where we were.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that happened to me the other day. I submit them, and here's the first interesting thing. You could trade up to 19 by giving up your next 3 pieces of draft capital. I don't think I would do that.
No.
It's 3 players. It's not just 3 picks, is it? It was, I think, it was 3 players.
Now, if you wanted, I could propose a trade using the Diggs 2025 pick.
Yeah.
And use it right now and get the Carolina Panthers
Second round. I mean,
by taking that Diggs trade like that.
I mean, would it be a case of you can get the Bills' own one? Because obviously, well, then again, we still have our first for next year. I mean, it's always worth it if we can get up there. But obviously, we then going pretty much always to the fourth round without a pick, unless we obviously do another trade up, say top of three.
I'm going to give them my 4B.
Yeah.
I'll give them 5B. No, I'm giving the 5C, and I'm giving that future round 2 pick. And they would send their pick 1. If that doesn't work, I could get their pick 7, and I think I could still get. So they didn't do it. Let me do this. I'll do this. I'll ask for the 7. Nope. All right. Start round.
That's all right.
Okay. Now, there's Braylon Trice, and I will bet you dollars to donuts if this happens, the choice will be between Braylon Trice, Devontae Walker, and Marshawn Kneeland. And I think even though they didn't bring in Trice, the buzz out there is that the Bills really like Trice.
Oh, and my man.
Ranked higher anyway. So there you go.
My man Milton's there. I just don't know. I mean cornerback.
Your team double dip, maybe even triple dip, Matt. You're not wavering, are you?
I love Milton, but I'm just trying to think, is the cornerback room good enough obviously it is good enough at the moment, but depth wise not to take a corner in round 2.
That's a tough choice. I'll make it more hard for you, because I would say that Trey Benson is also on the table. He's got more scouting score points, and he is the perfect complement to James Cook. He's the battering ram type, and they would take Peyton Wilson, although that would be really interesting. But I think they would think running back. The need though that we talked about was at edge. With high pressures per game from a P3 conference, that would probably be him and not Kneeland. Western Michigan is not the same as Washington.
Let's do Trice.
All right.
Let's do Trice, and we'll see if Melton's still on the board at the start of round 3. I'd love to go trade up and actually grab him.
Do you want me to try trading up?
We'll try trading up if Milton's still there.
Yeah. So that round two, right? The round two is actually at the end of round 2, right?
Yeah.
Next 20 picks involves the Panthers and the Cardinals and the Commanders.
Commanders. Let's do Commanders.
Commanders.
Let's see where they go.
Pick 3.
Let's just see. Okay, give them.
All right.
Come on, 4A, 5. 4th, 5th, and the 7th. That could do it.
Cardinals took him.
Oh,
Cardinals took him. The pick at 66. Now, I'm not disappointed, because I see that Devontae Walker is there, and that was the other one that I was telling you. Would be
the McMillan's there, is he?
That'd be the compliment you've got. If you took both, that would be pretty amazing. The other choice would be Marshawn Kneeland here.
You double dip on that. I mean, what else you got on there? You've got McMillan, haven't you? Of Washington on that board.
Sweat is there. Bullock is there. You could talk me into Bullock. That would be interesting. I guess I would avoid Sweat.
Yeah.
Just
go on, Robin. What do you want? Do you want double dip on a wide receiver?
Yes.
Yeah. What about quickly? What about McMillan of Washington? I know obviously he was behind Polk and Adunze over there, but he's actually he was quite good. He's had his he had his moments. Obviously he's had his injury issues in there. Is he a fit in that?
Yes, he's a fit. This is a very deep. Safety class. I could think about moving up a little bit, and I could get into that. I could get into that next layer of safeties by trading the 28 and the 33 up a bit. And I don't have the trade chart with me, but I bet we could get to in the 20s, and 20 picks from now would be. Let's try Seahawks, because the Seahawks don't have very many picks. I think they would take quantity. So
let's see who's got one.
And this one, they would send pick 18.
Let's have a look.
Yep.
All right, who we got on the board?
Okay. The safeties right now. There's Malik Mustafa. Jalen Simpson, this is interesting. This confounds me. Jalen Simpson plays for Auburn. Auburn plays a 4-2-5 defense, and yet the Bills didn't go there. So you've got Mustafa, and you've got Vaki, and you've got Oladapo. And we could get two of them if this works out the way I think it's going to.
What about the cornerback room? Is Stiggers there?
Jarvis Brownlee is there. That's a good choice in Louisville. Kalen King at Penn State, with the connections that the Bills have to Penn State is a good one. Quantez Stiggers is way down here, and I'd even take him here. And now if you felt that you liked that idea as well.
Yeah, because I
think we can get him. I think we can get him at round 5, pick 9, though.
Okay, we'll leave it with that, because I know when we spoke with Emery, he actually raved about him, and obviously people that wanted him before he even came out, before he was actually told he had to go through the draft, and obviously you've got that pro experience playing in the CFL and all that, so definitely looking towards that. I mean, what other position do you feel, Robin, that you want to go out on this at this position?
I don't like the next two. I don't like the next two in at the DL position. The edge position would be Javon Solomon or Cedric Johnson.
Yeah.
And the running back. I like Garendo and Tracy a lot. For mid round running backs that have some pop. Do them, and the
OT, what about your linebackers?
This is really good. Foster and Goncalves, the Bills like both of these players. Foster has a really good pass block ability, and if I showed it to you over here,
is there anyone that we know of? I remember asking, I think it was Emery, I think last week, or might have been, about swing tackles.
Goncalves would be a swing tackle, and I know that there's some interest. That would be a good idea. The Bates in this class is Delmar Glaze, and Walter Rouse later on, but he's Oklahoma and way away from Oklahoma. So Goncalves would be a good choice here. And I think Mustafa is a good choice here. I've got him ranked at 129.
Can we have a quick look at guard?
Yep.
Just to see, because obviously, see if there's any of that flex in that guard.
Is a flexy guy. Tanner Bordellini.
I think. Well, what are the ones we got? We got another fourth. Or we got just that one fourth. We got another fourth.
We have 1/4 and 3/5.
Yeah.
The guy here would be Keegan down here.
I don't know, Robin. What do you think? Snapshot. What position?
Can't Robin. I think actually, given that we've got 3/5, I think we take 2 O linemen within the next 4. So I would say a tackle, and then see if we've got in the 5th, and then maybe go guard after that.
Yeah. So the best pure tackle is Foster. The best swing tackle is Goncalves at this point.
Dean, you got the deciding vote. I've gone Foster. He's gone Goncalves.
Okay. I know that the interest in a ACC guy might, and the fact that he's a swing tackle guy, and they don't know right now. Let me show you this. Right now, we don't know if our swing tackle, Tommy Doyle, he's still in rehab. Okay.
He's still undergoing rehab.
So that's what we don't have there. They love Vandermark, but he's left tackle only, and you don't really have the backup other than Tommy Doyle at right tackle is Kevin Jarvis.
Yeah.
So you're probably better off taking, at least right now, you're probably better off taking Goncalves so that you have a swing tackle.
All right. We'll go for it. Well, if this draft ever goes wrong, we just blame Robin for making the picks.
There you go. This is me. This is all me now.
No, blame me.
I like blaming Robin.
Oh, there you go. So now we don't have to worry about our safety. We've got Kitana Oladapo in our back pocket. We have 3 picks in this round. So let's not do safety here.
Yeah.
Tyrone Tracy. Is a very Billsy running back type of pick. I'll show you that. So Tyrone Tracy right here, 5'11", 209, 448 speed. And this is a very interesting one because it's in gold. Running back, wide receiver, kick returner. Okay. He had 428 yards of kick return job and has a really, really nice interview that I haven't put up on here yet.
I think
we can wait and not take one of the Thunderbacks until the very end. There's some guys like Garendo that might still be available though.
I mean, to be honest, the only other person really I like on there, the defensive running back wise, a little bit is Braylon Allen, but obviously his pass block's not the best on there. And then it was the Isaiah Davis what school? I can't remember what school he's out of again. As well as Tracy. And I think if you've got that wide receiver who's got that wide receiver capabilities, that pass catch capabilities, and obviously with the new kickoff return on there, and he's at, and you got explosive. I think that if we nab Tracy, you've got that special teams, that kick returner, that actually then can be that backup and that complement to Cooks. I mean,
on one of
those three, I'd even go with the first to the fifth. I would take Tracy as that first or the fifth round.
Yeah, so that could work. So this is our first of the fifth round. There's a little interval, and then we get basically back-to-back picks. And it's not too early to start thinking about the 30 visit from a linebacker, and that was Edwafon Ulufosio from Washington. That he might still be in there. Vaki is also in there, but Bo Braid is ahead of him, at least on my board. I don't think Braid is as good a tackler as Vaki, and Vaki has that some other abilities. If you wanted to choose back to back safeties, one or two of them would be there at pick 20 or at pick 25.
Yeah.
So take the running back or take the linebacker.
But take the running back first.
All right.
Because I say we could probably get the linebacker a little bit later on. So yeah, if we take a running back first.
Okay, Kamani Vidal. Let me talk to you about these guys and how much they've been involved with the Bills. So Kamani Vidal is the guy from Troy, and Dylan Laub is the one from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And Rasheen Ali is the one from Marshall. So if I show you these guys in order of how much involvement they've had with the Bills, Vidal, 5'8", 213 with 4.46, 4,010 career net yards. He's an untried pass blocker. I think that's a good way to put it. And
yeah.
he did pretty well at the Senior Bowl. He has a 4.0 career against AP ranked teams. That's not as many as some of the other guys down here, some of whom will be available in free agency. The other part of it is that we've skipped over some of the guys that have had the big games against AP, but one that's sitting here is Kendall Milton of Georgia. He was a teammate of James Cook, and he had a 6.2 versus AP ranked teams. So there's still hope to get our Thunder back in this draft.
So
if you're just looking for bodies, I think we've got one. Johnson is already there. One of the bodies.
I don't know. Let's have a look.
The other piece of this is we still have not taken the safety. We have James Williams, who Jamal Adai trained. Josh Proctor, who is really high in solo tackles per game. And Jalen Carlisle, who is also high in solo tackles per game. And you can have two of them.
Oh, God.
I didn't keep both safeties. I don't know.
Well, I like Proctor. Yeah. I like Proctor. I think we go with Proctor then.
I could still take any of the three here. The ones that have been most scouted were Williams and Carlisle.
Well, I think let's go Williams. Let's go James Williams. Carl Duggar, Jeremy Chin type guy.
Effectiveness there. I don't think you're all wet at all for doing that. That's a good pairing. And you've got bodies back there. So this is real fortunate because you've got Braden McGregor, one of the guys that the Bills are interested in there. You've got Dylan McMahon, a center who actually did quite well in terms of number of visits.
Is one name, if he's there on cornerback, Devonshire, is he there? We've got to take a pit defensive back.
it's right there. You want him?
Yes, yeah. we've got to take a pit defensive back. We've taken Jackson. Then we've got to go for that one.
All right. The three that will be in play here in terms of visits are Tarheeb Still, Devonshire, and Storm Duck. So those are all, and Daquan Hardy, of course, from Penn State. But let's take Devonshire. This is still good. We've still got like quite a few positions to fill, but we have not touched defensive line.
Yeah,
and one of my favorite people, right there.
And
Keith Randolph, Illinois, played with Zerjan Newton.
If Evan Anderson's there, take him.
So I can take both of them because I could take him at the last pick. Randolph would be the three tech.
Yeah.
And we don't have one. And Evan Anderson, you could get to play one tech, three tech. And you could obviously get another three tech either in
undrafted.
Yep, undrafted.
Okay, we'll go Randolph.
You're talking about one of the guys that will fit in so well. I felt the same way about Kincaid. This guy is made for the Bills.
Just before we select Anderson, what wide receivers are left on that board? Because obviously we've known this is a very deep,
yes,
deep wide receiver group.
So you've got some good ones here. Jalen Coker, Holy Cross, they play William and Mary. You've got Isaiah Williams of Illinois, and if I were to pick somebody down at the bottom here,
it'd be Coker.
That the Bills actually brought in. Flournoy is probably gone. Cornelius Johnson and Bub Means would be the real Billsy high relationship here.
And we'd probably get one of those in undrafted.
Probably, yep.
What do you think, Robin? We go Evan Anderson.
Best Cephas. You've got you probably don't need another safety.
And you
probably don't need another corner.
Anyone left on the O-line?
So on the O-line, yes. Okay, so I got one for you. He's way down at the bottom, though, I'll bet. Let's see.
Looking forward to it. Surprise us.
Yeah.
I don't even. Nope. He actually went. There was a guy from British Columbia.
Manu.
Yes, Manu.
Yeah. The most athletic. Was it over 320-odd pounds and ran like a 4.9 or something like that?
Yeah. Here's probably the best value on the O-line is Nick Gargiulo, the South Carolina center. Like him.
How many picks do we have left?
One. This is our last pick.
Okay. How about the guy that had 45 bench press reps on the D-line, Juwan Briggs?
I would go center.
Say again.
You want to go center?
I go center with my last thing. I just think O-line, even if he's probably got a better chance of making a 53 than the seventh round wide receiver does.
Ladarius?
Yeah, but Robin will make the pick. Robin's got the last pick.
All right.
Go on, Robin. Sure. Make that pick, Robin.
Who was our center?
Oh, the center. Yep, the center. Yeah. Nictor Gargiulo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good ending pick for this. There you go. This shows the trades.
Awesome. Oh, I'm gonna get. If you take a screenshot of that, send me that. I'll put it up on our on Twitter. Once we've done that, and yeah, I mean,
we'll be never allowed to hear the end of it when the picks come.
Oh, apparently, yeah, right? It's a running joke with Robin and Mark that the whole Kyrie Lamb thing that I wanted him back in the January of the draft, then I apparently changed my mind. And then everything that went wrong, it was actually it was my fault. It was me. I chose him. And then when it went right, they're saying I'm wrong. I should have stuck with my guns. So we'll have fun actually picking away these picks.
Here's one thing that I've learned in life, and it was something my dad told me, and I didn't believe him at the time. If you have two players or even three players at 28. okay?
And yeah.
You can't decide. The harder a decision is to make, the less it will matter.
That's right. True.
It's the decisions that we don't make that you think are going to come to bite us. But I don't think that this is going to be the reason that we make the Super Bowl and win it or not.
It's a life lesson.
You know, it's a life lesson. The harder a decision is to make, the less it will matter.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dean, thank you ever so much for everything, for the board, for going through a mock draft with us and all that. Obviously, we're getting to the most valuable part of the week now. We've got draft day coming up on Friday morning for us in the UK, 1 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm very happy that I'm over here on this side of the pond then. Because I think have to stay up until midnight, which is, you know, two and a half hours past my bedtime. So anyway, hopefully everything, Bean works his magic and we get some of the players, not the players that we like, but the players that he wanted.
Yeah.
So that's crossed fingers that is going to happen, and go Bills.
Yeah. And for everyone, just before you go, obviously if they're not following you, they should be following you. Obviously, right. Just give them the details.
Yes. On X-Twitter, at @TCBills_Astro. And, I write for BuffaloFanBase.com. And you can find all of the stuff there. And I've picked six players at each pick that Bean's going to make. Enjoy it.
Yes. And all we can say is thank you, everyone that actually that tuned in to watch us. Obviously, we'll get this on audio and get that out as well. And for Dean, Robin, myself, Matt, it's thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Follow me. Go Bills. Follow me. We'll send you the spreadsheets.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about Mark. You don't know anything about work. He's a cop. That's who we are.
Does on three. 1, 2, 3.